Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 20th of January, recording at 9:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various different asset classes, and there are some interesting changes taking place. But before I go into that, first, well, let me set the stage for that first with a quick review of the week. We have seen a number of these quite overextended and in some instances accelerating stock market trends crack. At least the short-term uptrends have cracked in here. Not all of them, but a number of key ones, including bellwethers such as Japan and South Korea. And then we mustn't overlook the Wall Street leash effect. Wall Street closed very weak in here today. Well, what was the main reason for that? Well, there's been some concern over corporate profits and the sustainability of the rate of growth that we were seeing in corporate profits. But the big factor here, in my opinion, is unquestionably the rising price of crude oil. Now, crude oil closed tonight, the spot price at $68.48. Now, just remember, a point I've been making over and over again is to say, just remember what people were saying in December in some of those exceptionally bullish forecasts for 2006 that the various different firms were issuing. And they were talking about oil, which came off a low at 55, an important and likely technical bounce point. At the time, a low near just above $55 in November, and was beginning to edge up, showing signs of putting in a little bottom area. And people were talking about $40 a barrel at some point in 2006. Well, here we are, say 68, 48, and now with the Katrina highs really in sight, and people will say, well, okay, this is all about the tension over the Iran nuclear ambitions, and others will say, plus the Nigerian tensions, the terrorism that's been taking place there. And they will, as we've heard often in the last 3 years or so, say, well, that's put at least a $10 premium on the price of oil. Well, obviously, it's been an influence here, but it just shows how fragile this oil situation is overall in terms of confidence in reliable supplies. And we've seen this rise also against the background of an unusually warm winter to date in the United States. So a cold snap, which I would assume is more likely than not at some stage before the end of March, could easily push the oil price up, not to mention natural gas higher. Natural gas is quite depressed at the moment, but showing evidence of losing downward momentum. So this is the story that I was most concerned about in terms of wrapping up what I've long been describing, well, in recent months been describing as a tired-looking bull making its last charge. So is it over? Have we really seen the end of this overall stock market rally? It's too soon to be certain of that. I mean, we can't really be certain of that until we see a further decline. So you know it when you're in it. But I've seen enough damage, including the downward dynamics that we've had in Japan, Korea, Wall Street. You can pretty well set the others aside. Those are the ones that I think are going to that I feel are going to be among the leaders in here this time around, and say that it does indeed look as if there's a very good possibility, I would think at least a 50-50 chance, that we have seen an important peak in here, or we're certainly seeing the topping out process. So this is this is a period where we need to think more about damage limitation overall. People are going to play that in different ways. I had, for instance, had raised a little bit of cash in my investment portfolio. I put on some hedge short positions in stock market futures today in the German DAX index and also in the S&P index just before the close. I felt I needed to do that not least because I had overstayed my welcome in a Japanese Nikkei long position, which I haven't closed yet, and I have other equity positions, although almost entirely in the resources sector, which has been very, very strong, and also in the Asian markets, which have been very strong as well. But these gains are vulnerable in the sense that we could easily see, our recent gains are vulnerable, and that we could easily see a correction that's fairly indiscriminate if investors lose their nerve. And there certainly is a real chance that investors do lose their nerve, but watch that oil price. If it's down $2 on Monday, then everybody will relax, and I will have to cover my stock market hedge shorts that I put on today at a loss. And on the other hand, if oil continues to push higher, and people have been bombarded with a number of articles in the press over the weekend that make them more nervous, then we'll see some follow-through on the downside in stock markets. Now let's put this in perspective. I have long said that 2006, second year of the U.S. presidential election cycle, that second year of the cycle has historically been the least bullish. Another way of saying that, it's also the year when you're most likely to get a decline, if you're going to get a decline by stock markets or some stock markets, certainly Wall Street, on a calendar year basis. And I don't see anything to change that view in here. We've had 33 months plus of a fabulous rally, and people had become a bit euphoric. You can see that in a lot of the price charts of various different stock market indices. So a good medium-term correction, not so good if you're holding lots of long positions, but I'm good if you're looking to buy at somewhat lower levels. This has always been the prospect here. I thought the real danger period might be in the second and third quarters, and that still may be the case. But I've also cited oil as the factor that could most readily fast forward this problem for global stock markets. Okay, so I'm sticking with that script. If we haven't seen the actual highs for most stock market indices, we're really quite close. And what beckons, I think, is that medium-term correction. And that will create a terrific buying opportunity. Where will that buying opportunity be best? Well, you can, well, other people can have the technology if they want. Technology is a volatile sector, and people have piled into it a lot recently. But have a look in the library after the Wall Street prices are posted. Have a look at Google, which saw its biggest down day here today since the flotation. Now, I certainly won't be interested in buying technology, because the trouble with technology is that you get the rapid obsolescence, and in other words, a company can be doing absolutely fabulously one year, and 2 years later it can really be on the ropes. And also, a lot of technology companies are not going to survive long term. And really, to do well in technology, you have to find the few very special companies that capture the imagination. And they capture the imagination because they have a unique product, or it's unique for a while, and investors can fantasize about them gaining global domination with that product, which a few companies will actually be able to do for a while. But if you look at the history of technology, take Microsoft, so dominant in the software field, well, that share price performance has been pretty mediocre since the stock market bubble burst back in 2000. And of the companies that you can name today that have really attracted that very, very strong investor interest and looked like extremely special situations, well, Google, very much top of the list. Apple Computers had a good run, but suffice it to say, I'm telling you what you already know. It's a risky sector. If it comes out of the ground, it's glamorous in today's environment. So you have companies like Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton, which both hit new highs in here today. Now they may well be vulnerable. I would expect them to be vulnerable to corrections along with everything else, because people will sell the good stuff just to lock in profits there to offset some of the pain that they're experiencing in lesser issues. But these companies are in that small category of firms that can see and have been seeing real inflation in earnings power. And then there's another theme, a crucial long-term theme in here. We, I feel, should not be buying stocks that are competing with rapidly developing emerging economies such as China and India. We should be buying stocks in companies that sell things to China and India. Now, that will obviously include the resources companies, not least mining companies, but it will also include specialty makers of high quality machines. And that's been a good story for Germany and particularly Japan and Korea in the last few years, and likely to remain a good story. So as a correction, stock market correction develops, I'll probably ride it out in my core mining positions and look to add to those positions on weakness if that opportunity presents itself, and I suspect it will. Why not just sell them anyway? Well, because those are core positions and I'd rather hedge them out in something else in case I'm too pessimistic, as many people in the broader investment community would suspect or hope that I am about that medium-term correction. And to put that pessimism in perspective, I'm not looking for a collapse of stock markets. I'm not looking for anything like a retest of the 2002 and 2003 stock market lows, but I am looking for a bigger correction than we have seen at any time since that March 2003 low. And I am also saying that that will provide an absolutely outstanding buying opportunity for 2007 and 2008. So I'm hardly in the mega bear category, and I'm sure I don't need to emphasize that point anymore for all of you who are listening. The other big theme that interests me, well, there are three big themes here. The second one is the emerging markets, and where you get an overlap with emerging markets and the supply and elasticity story, that's a very special theme. Now, nothing has done better than the Middle Eastern stock markets. Difficult to play. I'm happy to sit that one out because there are plenty of other great opportunities elsewhere. If it's going to be South America, because of political considerations, I think by and large, we're down to two, Brazil and Mexico, that stand out above the rest. If you're going to take a reasonably conservative stance, that is, there's Russia with its mouth-watering natural resources, but the concern over rule of law and the authoritarian regime, which is steadily taking control of all of Russia's major resources producers. There are countries such as Thailand, which is a major supplier of resources to China, and it's also increasingly important as a tourist venue for the Chinese middle classes. And my favorite stock market, which is not a resources exporter, but is very, very special for all the reasons I mentioned before and won't go into on this audio, but they can be researched on the website if new subscribers wish to, is India. That's my very favorite stock market for the very long term, but I would not be buying India in here today. We did see the JP Morgan Fleming India Fund hit a new high in here today. That was a pleasant surprise for me, but I would be even more surprised if it was able to hold it. In other words, I think this could be vulnerable to a correction. But again, why am I going to stay with that? Well, because that's a core position. That's, as I said, my very favorite stock market for the long term. And if I'm too pessimistic about the short to medium term outlook in terms of that correction, I certainly don't want to be out of something like India. So at the margins, I'll use my trading account to either short futures contracts, as I did in here today, to protect, give myself some protection against the downside, and look to pick up larger positions in some of my favorite market themes. Now, these will also, among emerging markets, I should also mention Eastern Europe, too high today, but would be very attractive following a shakeout. I'm not really interested in developed country stock markets except for two, Japan and India. I beg your pardon, Japan and South Korea. Those are extremely interesting. Another one that may come to fruition, and I would think it would in the next 2 or 3 years, is Taiwan, particularly if we get some sort of a political deal between China and Taiwan. That may not happen. Taiwan is way underperformed. It's a cheap market and an interesting story for the long term. But right now, the top two favorite industrial based manufacturing markets, developed country markets that I like, are Japan and Korea. And those are on my shopping list again, hopefully after we've seen a medium-term correction in stock markets. Okay, moving on to government bonds. It's a stock market shakeout that will give them the best opportunity to rally. It's a rally that I can resist, one because we've already seen a reasonably good rally from that predictable support level, the March lows of in the first quarter of 2005, and we saw stock markets steady up around those levels. I beg your pardon, government bond prices rather steady up above those March 2005 lows last November, and they have seen some good rallies. But if we get people coming out of stock market positions to any extent, some of that money will flow into long-dated government bonds, as will speculative positions. I'm not, as I say, I'm not tempted by that because I maintain that the secular bull market in government bonds ended back in June of 2003. It was a significant bull market. We see all the paper that's being printed, all the money that's being printed. We see all the bonds that are being issued. And the point I've made over and over again is, would countries be queuing up to sell 50-year government bonds if they thought that long-term yields were going to go down significantly? No. They're going to sell 50-year government bonds if they think long-term yields are going to go up significantly. And why are they likely to be better guessers on this than the analysts who are writing about bonds? Well, because first they know how much money is likely to be printed in their countries, and they also know what the borrowing requirement is likely to be or how much they would like to borrow. So again, I don't like that story. If we do get further and reasonable rallies in government bonds during the stock market correction, and I think that's highly likely, then I will be looking for shorting opportunities in the government bonds around the time I'm putting more capital to work in my investment portfolios that will be invested in equities, in the resources plays, and in the emerging markets that I like, and Japan and South Korea. Currencies, I am of the view that the dollar index did peak back in November, and that it is on its way back down. Now, if we get a stock market sell-off, I think that will be the key to action by Bernanke. And how would he deal with the stock market sell-off? Well, there's always the PPT, the so-called plunge protection team that people write about and cynics say fantasize about. I've always been of the school that the Fed does come in and intervene, not in buying cash equities, but in the futures markets from time to time, and fair enough, it's a smoothing operation. So that's one possibility. But if it's a small correction, such as we had seen, oh, say last October, but if it's a bigger correction, then among the decisions that the Fed would take, in addition to that support operation, would of course be printing even more money, and they've been printing a staggering amount of money. Look at the M3 chart in the library and the other US monetary indicators, and other central banks are doing the same thing. So print even more money, and then to change the sentiment very quickly, there's also the option of lowering interest rates. So even though interest rates are likely to go up, short-term rates are likely to go up a little higher before they next go down, I do think that we will see the peak in interest rates this year. And as I've said, Bernanke will be taking his cue, I think, mainly from what we actually see taking place in the stock market, and also with a close eye on the U.S. housing market, because while the Fed has been keen to see house price appreciation in the United States slow, it would fear a downturn, a significant downturn in the U.S. housing market, far more than it would fear further house price inflation, because of the obvious knock-on effects that a downturn would have in terms of declining consumer demand, pushing the US economy into recession. So Bernanke is going to be a recession fighter more than an inflation fighter, full stop. And of course, that brings me on tidily to the gold story. And I think this is one that's going to run and run, indeed, the bull story for all precious metals. And I want them in my portfolio. They will be volatile from time to time. We've certainly seen that recently. And there is a risk that we lose leveraged short-term holders when stock markets turn downwards. So, for instance, we saw that with today's action. Wall Street weakens quite sharply. Gold goes from new highs for this particular move to a decline on the day. And silver turns around from big gains on the day and moves into the loss column. Both are trading within ranges, are relatively steadier in consolidation patterns overall within secular bull markets. Both are going much, much higher, in my view, over the medium to longer term as part of the supply inelasticity story. And also the returning reputation, the returning fashion for hard money assets. And why is that such a compelling argument? Well, all you have to do is go into the chart library and look at gold in terms of all the other currencies. Also, have a look at oil in terms of all the various different currencies. I think it's a real eye-opener. Really does underline the extent to which these vital resources and scarce resources are outperforming financial assets. That is a major theme that's going to run for years and years and years, and so I want to be there. Those metals are core positions in my portfolio, and the market facilities for actually trading futures in the industrial metals are not as good as they should be. The LME is dealing in the LME is tricky, although I've done it off and on for years. I prefer the straightforward futures markets that we see in COMEX, say with a copper contract. All of these industrial metals are in secular bull markets. Now, a number of them are getting a bit overextended, perhaps, and would be vulnerable to stock market corrections. Zinc has been the best performer in recent months, and that trend is becoming overextended, and that leaves it vulnerable to another medium-term correction. Copper is still pretty orderly, fell back a bit today, but still pretty orderly within its overall upward trend. But I would be very surprised if we got through 2006 without some sort of medium-term correction in copper. Not immediately, and I wouldn't dream of shorting copper. It's still got a backwardation, there's a shortage, and I'm actually long with a trailing stop. And core positions in my portfolio, such as BHP Billiton, Rio Tinto Zinc, and then there's a laggard, which I will buy more of for certain, and that's Inco. Now, what else to mention? I think I've pretty well covered the metals, the crude oil position. What do I think crude oil is going to do this year? Well, I said back in November that I thought it was bottoming out at 55, and that it was just a question of how long it took for oil to range back upwards, and that of course depended on events, and we can cite two events, or I did, and they're well known to you in terms of the tensions with Iran and now the problem of sabotage and terrorism that we're seeing in Nigeria. But those are the short-term stories. The bigger, crucially important longer-term story is that the demand for crude oil is rising inexorably. And that's not going to change without the severest of global recessions. And the only factor that I could see triggering the severest of global recessions would be a pandemic of biblical proportions or some catastrophic ecological disaster, and I'm certainly not going to forecast either of those. The greater of the two risks is obviously the pandemic. But short of either of those, and that's very much a minority possibility, I would say, either of those events occurring, we will see central banks throwing enough money at these economies, printing enough money to keep the growth ticking over. And the demand for those industrial resources will continue to rise, not least in terms of oil and natural gas and other forms of energy, other fossil fuels. So this is a big bull story, and I fully expect to see new highs for the oil price this year. And let's put that in perspective. It's not all that expensive if you adjust it for inflation. We're not all that far above some of the levels that we saw in the 1970s and 1980s. And I agree with what Timothy Guinness had said, that he would be, well, I'm actually a little bit more bullish in terms of upside scope. He said that we could easily see oil sort of plateau at an $80 level and stay there for a number of years. I would be surprised if it didn't go higher than that. I don't think that's the end of the world. It will cause some problems, and it will also stimulate further development in the area of synthetic fuels, and this will be an interesting and productive productive period. It's really the sudden shocks. It's when the price moves much more quickly than people were able to prepare for or to deal with that causes the greatest problems to the economic system. But I'm not among the doom and gloomsters. I received a link to a website talking about I forget the title of of the website, but it had loads and loads of articles on oil dealing with the themes of peak oil and rising demand and so on. And with every single story, it came to the worst, most negative, pessimistic conclusion. Sort of gratuitous fear mongering, in my opinion, which is why I didn't draw attention to the website, which I haven't even named. But I'm not that pessimistic, not by a long shot. I think that it's a situation that the world will deal with, and from an investment standpoint, a core position is certainly going to be the Investec Global Energy Fund, which is one of my most important holdings. I think that's pretty much it, folks. So we can expect some fireworks on Monday. I hope that's not too traumatic for any of you. And remember, there are opportunities all over the place, and will be more later on in the year. And let's dedicate ourselves to preserving wealth and increasing it in these markets. All the best. Have a splendid weekend.